Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Isn't this something? I mean, yep. You're talking about the game and the offense and the defense and the coaches and the Vikings and the dome and the noise, and the whole game comes down to the kicker. I mean, the kicker, Morton Anderson right now, is the difference between the Falcons going to the Super Bowl or maybe the Vikings going to the Super Bowl.
Well, he's handled the pressure before from 39 yards out. Anderson is good. He knows it. They know it.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The call from, I would imagine, that CBS back in the day. Pat Summerall and John Madden. It was Fox.
They started at CBS.
They're
going over to Fox.
Went over to Fox at that point.
Yeah.
That was the one thing that always got.
Summerall,
by the way,
and Madden.
Sam and Greg, the best football sports
broadcast
team
duo. I think people will say that. Because all the things that it brought to the game, and the telestrator and John Madden and the bang and the zoom and the
look. Well, see, but then I said the team. So I think Madden on his own, yeah. I still think him with Al Michaels was better.
I think, well, it depends on your producer and who your executive producer. I knew an executive producer for CBS Sports for their golf, and he thought that Pat Summerall was the greatest thing since sliced bread because he could say the most with fewest words.
But he left all excitement and exuberance in the glove compartment before every game.
The man just made a game-winning field goal. He didn't have to do it. He's working with Madden.
But Madden didn't talk. It was just Pat Summerall.
But I'm just saying, you don't have to have it. When you're working with Madden all the time, that guy is so hype.
The play-by-play guy has got to come with something once in a while, even if you're working with a John Madden. Still, show some excitement in what you're just called. You know, the guy was like in a dentist's office when he made that call. And that was what Pat Summerall was. I just thought so. Bring some excitement despite who your analyst is.
I think he brought excitement. He was a former player in the
league. Yeah, and he was a kicker, too. Right? You would think there'd be more excitement. That thing sounded like he was...
No, I mean... To me, that was just his style and his delivery. Just different styles and different deliveries. I think it was very effective, and I think it was a good match for him working with Madden. Now, different people did it different ways. Like you said, Michaels was different with him as well.
Play-by-play guys can show some excitement. Play-by-play guys can show some excitement
in
the call, and then leave room for the analyst to go crazy. But, I mean, Pat was just nonplussed all the time. But you know what? I'm going to shut up because he's not with us no more.
No.
So I'm going to leave him alone.
No.
May he rest in peace.
Yep.
I like me some Pat Summerall.
The guy he had before him,
for those who don't remember, he used to get drunk
and that was
Brookshire, was it? Tom Brookshire.
Those
guys, their drink would fall over out of the booth.
Those were different days, for broadcast and just for media, period. Because you could go to events, and the minute you come through the door, somebody's got a pop for you to sip on, not a soda pop, but. That all changed.
You could go to YouTube and dial up Howard Cosell in Philadelphia Monday Night Football game where he does the announcement, and he's literally slurring.
Yeah.
Welcome to Philadelphia Monday Night Football.
Because it was all around. But I mean, you had the case where I know it even happened at local level. You go to a game, you come through the door, you got a press room set up. There's plenty of beer stuff around to drink. You started having this thing where, if you're in a vehicle, I know at the stations I worked at, if you're in a vehicle and there's a mishap, you may end up walking down the hall with the cup even though the other person hit you. So for that reason, it cut out all participating in any of that while you were on the job.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9
The Game. We were talking about the same with
that. And we didn't mention
that. And the reason why is this week is the 20th anniversary. It was on January 17th. 1999, that the Morton Anderson makes the field goal and the Falcons go to the Super Bowl for the first time. And it was the game they weren't supposed to win. We all went there, and I had a chance
in
to go to
Minnesota, too. Yeah, this was a road win for these guys getting it done.
And it was supposed to, the season was supposed to end. I think a lot of us went there ready to say, man, it's been a great run by the Falcons, and it's been a great, you know, great season, because this Minnesota team had this highly prolific offense that was just breaking scoreboards week after week. You know, Randall Cunningham and the receivers that he had on that team, just an unbelievable cast of weapons that he had to work from. And we had heard about the Humphrey Metrodome. And how loud it got, and
the
how
Humphrey
the extra
Metrodome.
Noise was, you know,
Edward and H. Humphrey,
and just how it's going to be just impossible to win. You're going to jump off sides. The noise is, you won't be able to hear Chris Chandler make the signal calls. We heard all of that stuff going up there, and we just said, you know what?
We had two. Well, the main thing, but there was one other sort of dark cloud hanging over this matchup, specifically in that venue. And Minnesota fans reminded Atlanta people of that throughout the day up there and the week leading up to it. We already dusted, Joe, you know what, up here about 7-8 years ago with the Twins. That's
right,
where the Braves
right,
lost their World Series
right.
up there. And the famous, was it the Kirby Puckett hit home run? I will see you tomorrow night.
That and the defensive play. Just
oh, that Kent Herbick, too, holding Ron Gann off the bag.
He pushed him off the bag.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You know,
and then what's his face got?
And then the white ceiling, with the baseball. They had a number of issues up there.
And Lonnie Smith getting deked by Chuck Knobloch.
Yeah, so that was it. But anyway, the
where
Falcons
were you?
Win that 30-27 for most of the game. I was in auxiliary press seating, which was in section
trailer?
Which was in section 666 up at the very top of the place.
Oh, but you were in the building.
You were in the building, yeah. But man, you were. Auxiliary media was sitting way up. You had the regular press box, and there were several of us that went, you know, from XIA, from 11 Alive, and I'm way up there sitting in the seats watching the game. And we get to the fourth quarter, we say, you know, maybe we need to make our way down to the field. And you know, you already had cameras down there working. The photographers were on the field working. Better get down there. And then we go to overtime, and we say, oh, whoa. Randall Cunningham takes a knee where there's still time on the clock. And I'm like, wait a minute. If these guys are going to quit with time on the clock on their home field, this offense that puts all these points on the board, I think something's happening here.
Yeah.
And that was your first. That was the first thing. Well, the first thing was that the Falcons made no didn't jump off sides the whole game. And that's what we were looking for. Not a single time. They broke down the whole signal to a quiet cadence, a silent cadence that worked to perfection. And tip of the cap to Coach Reeves and everyone who was able to get that together, because we thought that was going to be something that was going to trip the team up. They're going to get called for jumping off sides.
You know what? As you sit and recap this game, and I was in another venue, which I'll tell you about in a second, but the story is not everything that you talked about. While it's relevant, it came down to one thing, and I was trying to think of who now is the equivalent of this. And none of this happens without the last person in the world you think of, especially playing football then, missing a field goal. He was perfect, if I'm not mistaken, all season. And that's Gary Anderson. He don't miss that field goal, the Vikings would have won it, you know, and that would have been the end of the story.
But you know what?
Gary Anderson missed a field goal, which was the story of that game to me. And most people have covered it because this dude was perfect.
Been perfect all season
long.
But you know what? The fact that they gave up with time on the clock and regulation, they didn't deserve it. Really. If you're on your home field, you got time on the clock, and you got this great offense.
Well, that's the arrogance that they feel like they, you know.
Yeah. No. You know what I mean? If you got time on the clock, it's on your field. Try to score in regulation. You're on your own field. It didn't happen. He misses, and Morton, as you just heard, made the kick, and just a tremendous field. And by the time I'd made it down to the field, I'm standing in the back behind the end zone. The ball comes through the uprights, and I was working with Mike Thomas. Shout out Mike Thomas, photographer. He's still covering for the Braves, but for the Falcons now. Still shooting with the Falcons now. And we just charged out to the middle of the field and started interviewing whoever we could and on the field and people up on the stage.
Is there footage of that, by the way?
I'm sure
there's footage someplace.
Someplace, because everybody just – and it took us 2 weeks to get used to saying Falcons and Super Bowl for those of us who had grown up around this area and had been around the team for a long time and followed the exploits and the disappointments, the many, many disappointments of the Falcons down through the years. it just took a while to wrap your brain around Falcons and Super Bowl for the first time ever.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on the morning of Championship Football Sunday.
Yes.
NFC game, Rams and Saints, pregame at 2 o'clock, kickoff 3. You can hear that game right here, followed by, of course, Patriots and the Chiefs. That game also you can hear right here. You remember Jocks and Jills?
Yes.
Tracy was running the one over at Cumberland. That's where I was at.
Yeah.
We weren't together then.
Okay.
Well, we were, but okay. We weren't. You know, okay. It wasn't married.
Okay.
But she was running that
Galleria.
One. Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
What did I say?
You said Cumberland. It's the same area. Galleria. Across the street, yeah.
And they had built a DJ booth because I was DJing there every Friday and Saturday or something like that. There was a night that I was showing up. Yeah, giving out T-shirts, and I was DJing. And I was playing every time the Falcons scored or did something positive in the game. Big play happened. I was putting on The Bird by The Time. And some Morris Day going. But the place was jumping. It was jumping. And that location, listen, this was just one of many because nobody expected the Falcons to be where they were then. As you said, getting used to saying Atlanta Falcons headed to the Super Bowl.
It took 2 weeks for it to really sink in. Before the game was played, it really did to get used to saying it and that it actually happened.
And I don't think that – now, we had had – let's see, so this is 98. We had had one Super Bowl at that point, meaning Atlanta had hosted. Had hosted just one Super Bowl.
Right.
We had the Olympics here. Braves had won their World Series. So we were used to the world looking at us. But, again, saying it out loud, you're right. Because I was trying to remember what it was like in the city. There was just all kinds of crazy excitement. There was more Falcon stuff, I believe, then, obviously, because you never forget your first.
Right.
Than there was a few years ago. And, again, I just think that's a byproduct of all the – like, if nothing else had happened here, it's kind of like when the Braves started going to the World Series.
Yeah.
We hadn't had anything happen in this city. So the first time the Braves in the early 90s started going to the World Series, that and knowing that the world was focused on us, that was something special.
Yeah.
But anyway, that night 20 years ago, you were in the building. I was at Jocks and Jills at Cumberland, and everybody will remember where they were that night that Morton Anderson made that kick. Hopefully we will have an exciting game like that today.
That's what we're looking for.
Again. And the man on the other side of the glass playing you the music has got his wear on. You got to go see this picture. I guess you're going to have to send him to your site. Anyway, Sam and Greg, we're going to talk to a friend of the show up next, Russell.
Yep.
Mr. Russell Baxter coming up. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Sam and Greg on a what?
A game day Sunday.
Love hearing that. Love hearing that. We don't have nearly the fog we had yesterday.
No.
We don't have nearly the weather issues that we had.
Well, hopefully the snow has stopped that was on the
north end
of
town.
Man,
there wasn't no snow. Bo came from your area. He didn't see no snow.
Man, there was some snow falling when I left the house this morning.
You just need to clean your glasses.
Okay. I'm just saying.
That's what's up. If there was snow, I would have called you ahead of time and told you it's coming your way. Because that's what we do.
It could have come across Lake Lanier. Sometimes it comes across the lake.
You know, I do know about that.
Yeah.
I do know. I grew up hearing that.
Yeah.
Lake effect snow.
That's it. Well, you had a whole nother lake. Lake Lanier is like a drop in the bucket compared to what you're talking about. Uh-oh. You know what this music means? Yeah, now.
Is he listening? I wonder if he hears his intro music. Friend of the show, when we want to talk NFL, we go right to the source. Russell, good morning. Russell, hello. You may not have him. All that for nothing.
No.
He went to get a cup of coffee.
No, did he?
He's not there. That big old setup. Well, wait till he comes back. We'll check back with him. Kill that music.
We got him now.
He's there. Russell, you there?
I am.
What'd you do? You ran to get a cup of coffee?
No, I heard everything you guys said. I heard all the music.
Oh, you were listening to the music instead of we were trying to call you out there.
No, I heard you guys calling me too.
Okay,
fantastic. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm good. How are you? I'm doing better than you guys because you guys can't hear me.
Well, I can hear you fine. Now, Greg and I have been talking all morning about the magnitude of this day as far as football, as far as the NFL goes. Today is always the day that we see the best of the best, and nobody has room to leave anything on the table for next week. Well, it's been that way for the past few weeks if you've been in the playoffs, but obviously on this day because there's only one game out there that they're going to play for.
So, wait, and that wasn't really a question in there, so this is good. I can ask him a question. And, okay. And on something that we were just talking about.
Okay.
Where were you, Russell? Because Sam brought up the fact that this is the 20-year anniversary of the Falcons making it to the Super Bowl for the first time. Where were you when Morton Anderson made that kick after Gary Anderson missed his?
I was in the one of the conference rooms where we watched all the games together at ESPN. And, you know, watched that incredible drive. By, you know, so much wants to be made about Gary Anderson missing the kick.
Yes.
The fact remains that the Vikings still had a 7-point lead in their own building. And Chris Chandler took them down the field, drove down the field, and tied that game. So, I mean, it's easy to blame Gary Anderson for not giving you insurance points. But the Falcons came into that game red hot. And I think... if I remember right, they had played something like 7 or 8 or 9 straight games indoors. So, you know, both home and away. So the noise in the Metrodome, I thought, was inconsequential. And they came out with a very balanced attack. You know, Minnesota, if you guys remember, Minnesota, obviously the 15-1 team, all the points, kind of toyed around with the Cardinals the week before. Look, they looked like they were experimenting with things more than executing, and costly turnovers. The Falcons outplayed the Vikings that day. It had nothing to do with the kick, and then Morton Anderson delivers, and then Jamal Anderson, who I later worked with at ESPN for a little while, trying to give Dan Reeves dance lessons.
Yeah,
that's right. Trying to do the birdie bird up on the stand. Wow, you are good, Russell. I just went and looked, and you were right. Not only did they win their last 9 games, but the venues, with the exception of the 49ers and the Dolphins, they were all in domes.
Indoors.
They played, I see, the winning streak started, they played the Rams, then the Patriots.
Didn't they play the Dolphins at home?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. Okay, sorry. You're right. So I was looking at when the winning streak started. It started with the Rams, St. Louis Rams, and then at the Patriots, and the rest were dome games.
If I recall, the last game they lost that year was to the Jets, 28-3, at the Meadowlands.
Jets, take 20 out of petty cash for yourself. That was good. You got that dead on.
Don't forget that was Bill Parcells' Jets team that made it to the AFC title game.
You know, I heard a crazy stat, speaking of the Jets,
yeah,
that when they were talking about Brady getting ready for this game today and it being on the road, they brought up a former New York Jet quarterback who has more playoff road wins than Tom Brady. Do you know who I'm talking about, Mark?
Yes. And you know what that tells me?
What's that?
That the Jets haven't had home field advantage very often.
Well, the guy's a punchline now. Mark Sanchez.
Wow. Yeah.
Mark Sanchez has got more road playoff victories than Tom Brady. Reminder on that. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Talking to Russell Baxter. We're talking about NFL action. All right, let's come up to the present, leaving what the Falcons did or didn't do back then. And the first game or the second game, of those two, which one has got your interest more?
I think it's the second game. Okay, it's the reigning dynasty. It's a team that's been in this position 8 years in a row. In fact, go back and look at the field for the Final Four. Chiefs are in the title game for the first time since 1993. Rams, 2001. Saints, 2009. Patriots, 25 minutes ago.
Yeah.
same thing with the Super Bowl appearances. Okay, even worse for the Chiefs, 1969. You know, this is the first time the Chiefs will host either the AFC or AFL title game.
Wow.
Think about that. I mean, even when they got to the Super Bowls back in their early existence, they played on the road at Buffalo and then at Oakland. So this is a whole totally different experience for him. It's not a different experience for Andy Reid, who's been in numerous AFC, or I should say numerous NFC title games, as he was with the Eagles, four in a row, go back, and then 2008 when they lost to the Cardinals. But yeah, the intrigue, I think, is in the second game, because I think the intrigue is which New England, it's hard to believe you even say this, which New England team is going to show up at Arrowhead Stadium? The one that we saw last week, which didn't lose a game at home, or the one that was at times really dreadful on the road at Tennessee, at Detroit, lost the Miami game was, you know, the fluke game, although they got run on in that game. I'm going to be curious to see New England's defense at Kansas City against the team that played one of its most complete games of the year last week.
Spending time on the waitforit.com hotline with Russell Baxter. And you want to follow him on Twitter. He keeps up on all of it, as you've already heard this morning. You can follow him at Bax Football Guru. That said, Russell, what does Kansas City have to do on their home field today to slay the beast, as you might say, this New England team?
Well, keep their emotions in check. Like I said, a lot of the Patriots, you know, Patriots are shooting for their third straight Super Bowl appearance. It's only happened two other times in the history of the league, the Dolphins from 71 to 73. And, of course, the Bills went four straight times without a win from 90 to 93, you know. So a game where you have to – listen, they got a playoff game under their belt, but this is a different beast, and it's a different team. What's intriguing about both these games, just to throw this out here, is the Chiefs were 5-0, and who handed them their first loss of the season, guys? The Patriots.
The Patriots. Ah,
right. I was thinking.
The Rams were 8-0. Who handed them their first loss of the season?
Saints.
Yep.
The Saints.
Yeah.
So, take that for what it's worth. Here's what I know. Andy Reid, as the Chiefs head coach, is facing the Patriots for the fifth time as the Chiefs head coach. And he's hung 40 on Bill Belichick's team three times in 4 games. And it's not Patrick Mahomes. Two of those games where Alex Smith is the quarterback.
Wow.
And in the last two, in fact, the last 2 years at Foxborough, here's something. The last 2 years at Foxborough, the Chiefs have scored a combined 82 points on the Patriots.
Man.
Now, they lost that game this year. I understand that. But I think Kansas, the difference to me in this game is I think Kansas City's defense, especially at home, has played better at late, with some exceptions. Okay? You know, they weren't great, obviously, at Seattle. But, and they weren't great in the final minutes against the Chargers. But, you know, Chargers, you're talking about two playoffs. Let's not forget something about Kansas City. They scored 150 points in the 4 games they lost. That's hard to do. So I think this sounds so weird. This game to me is less about Kansas City and more about which version of the Patriots on the road are we going to see this week, because they have been, you know, first losing record on the road, I think, since 2009. And it cost them home field advantage. People can say one game here, one game here, whatever, whatever. It cost them home field advantage. They're not a reliable team on the road this year. I don't know. I can't explain it. But not only not reliable, at times non-competitive.
The other thing I can't figure out is when you talk about today's NFL, I don't know, and you hear the conversation, everybody's trying to find the next Sean McVay and that next coach who is the quarterback whisperer, if you will. And I don't know what's easier to find, that coach or the quarterback like you have in Mahomes in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's easier to find the quarterback, because then the quarterback can be developed. I don't know how you develop. Who's the person who develops the head coach? Who's the person who develops a young head coach?
Yeah.
That's not a knock on anything. That's an individual thing. If you've listened to Sean McVay interviewed and talk about the game, he is 173% invested. Okay, he is the rain man as far as I'm concerned, listening to him, his recollection of play calling, his recollection of down and distance is astounding. And I guess that's what it takes to be that young and, you know, that up and coming. I mean, 2 years, two division titles, chance to go to the Super Bowl. I think it's hard. And listen, everybody's looking in the right place because they're all looking on Sean McVay's staff.
Yeah, they are. And that's, I think that's a statement to the owner too, giving him time. Yeah,
absolutely. No, listen, nothing happens. I'll give you a comment. Nothing happens with the Rams if it doesn't happen from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And in a completely opposite point of view that you didn't ask me about.
Well, Russell, wait. We're up against it, dude. Can you save that and come back? Because we're going to have you back on as we get closer to the big game.
Yeah, I can save it and come back.
All right. Well, of course, when you hear your walk-off music, that means we got to wrap it up.
Got it.
We're going to have you back, man, because we get closer to the Super Bowl. But anyway, Russell Baxter, appreciate the knowledge as always. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Game.com. Good morning. It is Sam and Greg. How are you feeling, man?
Doing great. Doing great.
I'm glad you are.
Doing better than Roger Federer. He just got bounced from the Australian Open.
Roger Federer felt bad for all of about 30 seconds.
You think?
And then he realized what his bank account looks like in the family. He's got waiting for
he's
him back
got
at
the
home.
Money right now. It's the trophies.
He's got a bunch of trophies.
It's the trophies that matter right
he's
now.
He's still leading everybody, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's the trophies that matter.
I know, but he's still the number one man with trophies. 2021.
21, but see, Nadal's creeping up.
Yeah, but he's not going to make it.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, we'll talk more about this because we're going to talk more Australian Open coming up.
Okay.
But it is time to go on the other side of the glass.
Yep.
Unique stories and a unique take from Bo.
Wow.
It's the other side of the glass on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So despite the weather, as crappy as it was yesterday, Chop Fest still happened over at the Battery in SunTrust Park.
Yep.
The 2019 Braves promo schedule was introduced with some new uniforms, bringing back the red jerseys on Sundays. Haven't worn red jerseys in SunTrust Park once, and not since 2013.
You mentioned that in the bullpen, and I hadn't realized that they hadn't done that, Bo. And it's like that jersey hasn't been worn in.
You know what? To be honest with you, I couldn't piece it together either that they had not worn them in 5 years. And then we got to thinking about it, and they're wearing the cream-colored jerseys last summer on Sundays at home games. So they're going to go back to the red. But, yeah, it's been 5 years. Isn't that crazy?
No. Has been.
Thank you for telling me that.
Talk about the promos, because I know there's one bobblehead.
Your bobblehead schedule, and we're all very excited about one, which has been a long time coming. So on April 26th, you can get your Ronald Acuna Jr. bobblehead. That one will be pretty popular. On May 16th, get your Josh Donaldson, brand-new Braves third baseman. Yeah. Bobblehead on June 11th, you get the very eerie and kind of freaky looking Swanberson double bobblehead.
Explain that, please.
Where they have taken half of Charlie Culberson's body and half of Dansby Swanson's body and morphed them together.
Whose idea was that?
They genetically engineered a creature called Swanberson because you know they look alike a lot.
Yeah,
and they actually had on one of the Braves home game programs last year, they actually had a split of Dansby on one side and Charlie on the other.
Okay.
And they could be brothers. So Swanberson is officially a thing now.
Wow.
And gets its own bobblehead. whatever you want to call that thing.
Nice.
So July 24th, Ozzie Albies will have a bobblehead. So both Braves young phenoms, Acuna and Albies, get bobbleheads this summer. Well deserved. And then you want to make sure you get to the ballpark on July 5th.
Okay.
As long time, and I'm talking probably 40, 50 year, Atlanta Braves veteran worker Walter Banks.
There you go.
Gets a bobblehead.
How about that?
That's going to be awesome, man.
You know what I mean? The thing I always love to say about Walter, if you get to a Braves game and you don't have a smile, look for him. He'll give you his. Some people like a living souvenir. And in the past, you couldn't take Walter home, but now you're going to be able to take Walter home.
Absolutely, man. That's
living
very, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
So and a couple other things you can tune into or come out to the ballpark this summer. T-shirt Tuesday. So every Tuesday home game, they will be giving away a T-shirt of different players and different, you know, stuff like that. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now on June 19th, which might be the giveaway of the year next to Walter's. the Atlanta Braves are going to give away the Ozzie Albies gold chain.
Oh. What does that, is there a picture of what that looks, what that's
yeah,
look
he wears
like?
A gold chain. If I'm not mistaken, it's got like a palm tree on it or something like that.
Okay.
But, I mean, it hangs off him. Every time he slides into second, his gold chain's flapping in the air. It might actually be two chains. I'm not sure if they're giving away both, but he wears two chains. No pun intended.
No
pun intended.
I'm guessing with two chains. Nice.
Well, that gets back to that human souvenir you get to have.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So one thing that we did not see that a lot of people were wanting to see is one Bryce Harper ride in on a white horse to Chop Fest, as Bryce still remains unsigned.
Yeah. What's up with that?
There's a lot of us still wanting Bryce to be signed to the Braves, and there is a mystery team that's now been thrown in the mix that has not been unveiled that very well could be the Atlanta Braves. I don't know, you know.
What is the delay? What do you see as the delay being?
I think they're holding out for that 10-year, you know, $300-$350 million contract. I don't think he's going to get the $400. If the Yankees were going to do that, they would have probably done it already.
The holdout, you know, is his numbers from last year, and people are deciding.
Yeah, the 249, but his on base percentage was still top in the league. But yeah, I understand that.
Yeah,
but yeah, hey, whatever we got to pay, we got the money. Come on, Braves. So speaking of Bryce Harper, a couple months ago, I told you about, he was going to be the cover boy for the MLB, you know, the show 2019. But on the cover they had released already, he's on the cover with a bat and a blank shirt.
Whoa.
Okay.
So MLB The Show ran a simulation of 162 games on the video game for every MLB team with Bryce Harper on the team.
Really?
One team won the World Series. Would you care to guess who that is?
Yankees.
Now think, if you were to put Bryce Harper on the field with any other player in Major League Baseball and call it a super team with just those two players being on it, which team would it be?
Anaheim.
It would be the Anaheim Angels.
Anaheim.
Also a Shohei Ohtani.
Yep.
So could you see like Ohtani batting second, Trout batting third, Harper batting fourth?
Oof.
Goodness gracious.
Wow.
Or first, second, third.
Yeah.
Or Trout leading off or something like that.
What do you take away from this dude first? His bat or his glove? Meaning from pitch.
Ohtani?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
He can't sustain this. Maybe
his,
a couple
his
more years.
His stuff on the mound is electric.
Understood. Now, let me ask you this again. Knowing what the sustainability of top pitchers in this league, they're few and far between. And even with, like, Kershaw, he didn't get it done until recently in the postseason. Eventually, that decision is going to have to be made. Which one would you do?
I don't know, man. I mean, he's a left-handed pitcher with electric stuff. I mean, he's got triple-digit stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, now, I can't wait to see how he responds to his surgery that they kind of put off and put off and put off so that he could have at-bats towards the end of the season. That's a tough call, man. It really is with pitcher and a hitter.
I'd keep a pitcher and make him the best off-the-bench pinch hitter in the league. This generation's Mini Minoso. How about that?
You do that?
Well, why not? I mean, you have the option.
So you say bring him out of the pen?
Bring him? No. Leave him as a starting pitcher.
Oh, leave him as a starter and have him as a pinch hitter.
There you
okay,
go.
I got you. That's not a bad idea. They could do that too, but I mean, he might fall into that groove of needing at-bats, you know, to actually stay fresh. I mean, we'll see. They got some years. He's still only going to be 24 years old, if I'm not mistaken, this season. So,
what happens the day before a starting pitcher pitches? This guy goes down.
If they're simulated games.
All right. So let him go down and face that pitcher. Have him face live pitching. In other words, make adjustments to keep this guy relevant.
So in case you're wondering, in the 30 simulations, Bryce won at least one major award in 19 of them. He won the MVP for the Yankees, Phillies, and the Marlins. He won the Silver Slugger for 15 different teams. And as far as the National League East goes, only one team made the playoffs with Bryce Harper on that team, and that was the Washington Nationals. The Braves did not even make the playoffs. This is why you don't go by video game simulations. Put Bryce Harper on this team, 2019, we win the World Series. That's what's happening on the other side of the glass.
All right,
man.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.